cigarettes.
You must have heard from New York. I could see he was kind of muted when he came in. Well, how did you go about it?
I just walked in. He was getting ready to come in to see you, and after I left your office, I said, Henry, I just want to...
He didn't leave the impression that I had talked to you about it.
I don't think he knew I was in there. He didn't ask me. I just said, Henry, I think you ought to know that Joe Kraft came by yesterday to see me. And I said I hadn't seen him, but in view of the op-ed piece that I wrote, I kind of got challenged and I had to see him. And he said, he never let me finish. He said, he's a snake. He's no good. He knew when Kraft had told him, even before I told Henry, because he said, can't trust him. I said, oh, God. I said, he's a vicious son of a bitch. I said, you know what he tried to say? He tried to tell me that he had that one story from you. And he put that scowl on his face, man, because he was ripping Kraft apart, because he's a pal of Kraft's.
Did he also get the fact that he said Reston?
Yeah, I said that Kraft said that he and Reston, Kraft told me that Reston and himself had never been so upset to have their integrity challenged. But I challenged their integrity. I said, Henry, did you read my thing?
Very interesting and important assignment. So,
always know, I mean, Henry is a terrible hypocrite. And he said, well, you know, he said, you know that son of a bitch called me. I said, oh, before he was coming? He said, yes, yes.
Grant?
Yeah. He said, because we know otherwise.
He admitted when I called him that he didn't find this. He said he never talked to Grant. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had the telephone record when he placed the call. He doesn't know.
He plays the
phone. He doesn't know. I know that. He said, Kraft called me. And he said, he told me that everybody in town was talking about this. And I said, well, that's what he printed, Henry. And I said, didn't you try to talk him out of it? And he said, of course I tried to talk him out of it. I couldn't talk him out of it. He said, that's why he wrote that awful comment. He said, he's no good. He's no good. I said, well, the only thing I worry about, Henry, is I stuck it to him pretty hard. And I just don't want him to go off and blow off somewhere that he had gotten this from you and Rustin had gotten it from me. And put you in an embarrassing position. That's the only reason I'm warning you of this. Which Henry was just fulminating. You can see the turmoil. You know, he gets himself caught in his own lies because he forgets what the hell he stole from him.
At least
he knows. The Kraft is on the verge of blowing the whistle on him. No.
You think Kraft is?
No.
I don't think he ever would. He didn't destroy a source.
No. Well, except that he destroyed it insofar as I'm concerned. I mean, he told me very flatly that his source was a primary source. And I dragged it out and I said, what the hell do you mean? He said, well, I talked to Henry and he said, you know, Henry, Kraft, yes, he said, Henry wasn't averse to letting that impression come out. He said, he wasn't. He said, you know, Henry's funny that way. He'll play off both sides. So Kraft told me flat. I mean, he didn't equivocate. Of course, Sonnenfeld, who works for Henry, is probably the only other guy besides Haig who really sees completely through Henry, totally. And Sonnenfeld has been to me this week and said...
Well, what does he say? I'm interested.
Oh, Sonnenfeld thinks that Henry is duplicit and devious and knows that he was promoting those stories.
Sonnenfeld told you this,
Jim? Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Sonnenfeld...
You better keep Sonnenfeld out of this.
Well, except for
Henry... must move him out because he's such a repulsive bastard, but... He doesn't bother me. He doesn't repel me.
And he's smart as hell.
And he's smart?
And he's hardline.
And is he hardline?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes. Oh, he's a hawk. The point about hell is he sees right through Henry. And Henry can't pull... The reason Henry doesn't give him much shit... leeway is that he sees right through him. So Hal came to me last week, and then after I wrote the op-ed piece, Hal came and he said, do you realize what you've done? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, Christ, he said, Kraft and Rustin are both talking about the fact that they got their stuff directly from Kissinger. He said, you've walked right into the middle of it. That was when I told you that I was smoking him out. I hadn't realized it.
But Sonnenfeld came to you this week, and yes, what did he say? What does he mean by the little that?
Well, he thinks that Henry plays the game of being the good guy with the Krafts and the Restons, and then internally, of course he isn't. I mean, he represents his position differently outside than inside.
And Sonnenfeld thinks he does this?
Oh, yeah. And Hal says he's sure to do it. And Hal said, I've been with him when he said, I don't want to be disloyal to Henry. But Hal said, my first loyalty is to the president. He said, he said Henry is a very dangerous guy when he does this because he'll drop these little cute remarks. And he said he's been doing it regularly. And he said, this time he got quiet. And he said, it's bothering Henry. He said, I can't. And he said, Henry knows I know. And he said, he's very embarrassed with me right now.
Scally going on. Scally over there.
did.
I mean, it's really quite a good mix, isn't it?
It came out very well, Mr. Prison, and you've got some good people.
And they're all loyal.
That's right.
There's no one in there I don't trust them. Do you agree?
No, I think that's right. I don't know some of them that well. I don't know Dent and Brinigan, but the others I think are all great. Like Jim Lynn is tremendous. Weinberger, if we can get the poor
boy. You say you didn't know?
I don't know Dent or Brinigan.
Dennis, he might be very strong, but he's very decent.
Mm-hmm.
Brinigan is hard line all the way. Great.
He looks
like a weak in Brinigan.
Yeah, they're trying to use him as the hostage on budget.
Weinberger is too smart.
Oh, he'll be confirmed.
Of course, he's not being confirmed. And this isn't harmful to him at all.
No.
He's being investigated. Do you think?
No, he's. You can tell Cap is a little upset about it, but no, he'll be fine. And once he gets in there.
But it's good, too, that he's getting a little of this so that he will not be too rigid. When he gets in the job, he's got to realize that he's. I don't want him to be soft and spending this, but he's got to find out that he's up against a tough situation, and he won't just say, well, cut out the school market. He'll realize he can't quite do some things that way, do it other ways, right?
That's right. It'll be.
That's why a confirmation's always good for a man.
Yeah, it'll be good. In Cap's case, it'll be good. The only negative.
Yeah, well, stories, what's that?
The only negative to Cap is that it may weaken him in handling the bureaucracy. I mean, that agency of all agencies, you've just got to crack the goddamn whip on the bureaucracy.
He will handle.
He'll
he's
do
a strong man.
Oh, he is.
Cap is no Bob Finch.
Oh, no.
He lacks Finch's marvelous ability to subtly interest. But on the other hand, Cap is a nurse. He's got a steel backbone.
Hmm.
Tenacious, everything.
And he believes. I mean, he really wants
to.
He really wants to go in and do it. And loyal. God, he walked through the door without opening it if he hasn't. He's.
Roy Ash, too, as they tell me, he just stood up there and took those congressmen. And Muskie was shouting at him.
Mm-hmm.
What the Christ the matter with goddamn Muskie?
Well, they're frustrated, Mr. Preston.
You think so?
Oh, sure. They can't lay a glove. They can't lay a glove on you. That's one of the big things that,
You know, the peace frustrated the shit out of them.
Of course it did.
Didn't it really?
First the election, and then the peace, which the thing that really gets them is that you, who have been their chief political antagonist, succeeded where they had failed. And it's just that simple. And they can't stand that. It's really done a hell of a job on their own psyche, their own outlook.
You know what, Henry? I wonder if he isn't probably continuing the duplicitous thing. That's
sure.
What I'm a little concerned.
I'm positive he is. That's why I say
you
that.
Mean socially, Henry.
Sure. The clever way he handled that Cal Dancer on the bombing. I mean, everybody caught that. Everybody who knows what's
like
going on. Sure. Oh, yeah.
You should mention that to Hayes.
Bill Verrutti caught it.
Did he?
Yeah, he doesn't trust him.
And so,
Hayes.
Understand whether we trust him or not, he's invaluable.
Oh, good God.
So we've got to have him. He's got to negotiate the Mideast now, and people don't realize that I control him. I know how to do it. He thinks he's doing it. He always will have a way.
No, Henry is invaluable, and the thing you have to do with Henry is just constantly keep him. I don't know, we keep him honest. You keep him worried about being honest, and it will help. He simply has to know he can't have it both ways, which he tries like hell to do.
Well, I'm sorry, you know, if the guy's weekend is pleasant. But on the other hand, incidentally, to shortcut that thing, rather than having those names that Henry works up for that foreign policy thing, rather than having it go through, to Bob, give it to Chuck Colson.
All right, sir.
And let him do the political checking. So you can suggest names on the political side. You know what's up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is some committee that was 10 men on
the side. Oh, the organization of the government?
No.
Organization of National Security Structure.
It's more foreign policy, apparently, or something like that. There's more names as opposed to current. I'm 1.4 of the best, toughest people in the world.
Ebshire is one of them, I think, but was
that name suggested?
Yeah, good one.
Put him on.
Yeah, he's good.
Another one I thought they could put on is Rockefeller.
Rockefeller would be great.
See my point? Rockefeller is strong enough to perhaps lead the whole thing.
Yep. That's the list they brought me in on that yesterday and said they were thinking of Bob Murphy, and I said I wondered if Bob was
too old.
Too old, yeah.
No. The answer is no. So there's the gift.
My initial reaction was he's over the hill.
He's over the hill. He's not over the hill. He's just too you're thinking of going to write lines, but I want you check the names and so forth.
Right.
Henry will come up with the usual one, the John McCloy's and all that. Yeah. I'm not going to have any deal wires on there. No more new people, things like we do. You see, Chuck, what people don't realize in the foreign policy field and also in the domestic, we really change. We are turning things around in a massive way.
Aggressive.
Don't you agree?
But that's the point that
we change in that world. Now, that world may be good, but hell, it could have been a hell of a lot sooner. We have to change it.
You changed it dramatically. I wrote a speech which I have to clear with Henry. I've been asked to give a Charles Evans Hughes lecture at Brown.
Good.
It's a great prestige. I'll probably get booed, but I'm talking about your courage in changing the world, not just Vietnam.
I would put it in terms, I did it to it very subtly. I would say, not from my understanding here, it is not true that I have made this kind of speech. It's a very quick. He said, I want to write at the outset, I realize that the majority of people have not supported the war policy. Let's forget who is president for the moment, and let's talk about the foreign policy achievements. And then let's decide, and let us therefore judge this foreign policy, not in terms of your partisanship, not in terms of the personality, not in terms of the man, but in terms of what was done. Now here's what happened in China, how this happened.
Mm-hmm.
A man wrote an article in 67 for Men Lost.
Can I have to go back to that?
Here is what happened. He inherited the Cold War, came along, 500,000 and so forth, and then over a period of time, and it was ended despite all the criticism. And here is the Soviet Union. By tenacious hours and hours of invasion negotiation, we had arms control, they said it wasn't a Berlin site, of Mideast troops. That all ended here. Now that is a foreign policy that Americans can be proud of and sit down.
And a balancing of self-interest is really what you've done.
I wouldn't go much to praise the president and that sort of thing. You could
say
one or two sentences about loneliness and courage and all that, but the main thing is to make the bastards just sit there and cry.
Listen.
Granted.
I agree to do this.
How can they be against China? How can they be against Russia?
No, they can't.
How can they be against anywhere? They have life back in the arsenal. How do they get against it?
No, that's right. Plus the fact, actually, that in the curious way, Vietnam may have been a damn good thing because a coalescing of the self-interests of Soviet Union, China, and the United States now to prevent those kind of wars and to keep a peace in Southeast Asia. I think
you think Henry is aware of the fact that he's smart enough to know that you're kind of doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure he's front at one point, remember, in December.
He's never sure.
He was all over there. But you remember in that December period, it was a pretty shocking.
Oh, God, awful.
Back, remember those calls you made to Los Angeles?
Yes, sir. I'll never forget. It was a day of anguish, several days of anguish. No, I don't think he thinks I'm doing it, man. I think he knows that I see through him, and that he never likes. I mean, that's why he doesn't like Scally.
That's why he doesn't like Sonnenfeld.
That's why he doesn't like Sonnenfeld. That's why he doesn't trust. I mean, I think he knows I try to help him. I do try to help him. I've tried to bail him out of several things. And I think he believes that I honestly try to help him. But I think he knows if there's ever a question of his loyalty to you, where I am. And that's what brought us in. Because I catch him every now and then, just like this episode. I caught him. And caught him with wrestling. And he knew it. Hell, I'm not trying to do a man. I'd like to see the guy recognize that he's made his place in history. But
well, then he can still make a place in damn well better shape.
But he can't have it both ways.
Son, but he can't continue to pander to the left.
No, I was very upset that he did Caleb. I mean, here's...
Well, I was too, but you know, Ziegler, incidentally, I must say, this was Ziegler's... they were all decided.
Well,
that's the best offer we had. And I said, well, they'll help somebody else their offer.
Howard Smith would have taken it like that.
No, he wouldn't.
Couldn't, because Howard Smith wasn't reachable. Howard Smith was not here this week. That's why. Well, the ratings would make no difference. No matter what network it was on, it would make no difference. Because he got a 7.6 in New York, a 5.5 in L.A., and both shown at 9 o'clock in the evening. Ironside got a 29.8, and ABC Kung Fu, whatever the hell that is, got 21.6. So
this is
7.6. But interestingly, Mr. President, it went 7.6, 7.1, and then in the second half hour, 5.0. In other words, he lost one third of his audience in the first half hour. But I don't care what network. I mean, the argument, I know the argument that Ziegler and Kissinger used was that CBS had the best audience level. Doesn't make any difference. You put on Kissinger, any public, you put on any public service program, any one of the three networks, and seven.
No, they were not good. We've done very much better than that.
Yes.
You've got to preempt all three.
That's right. I was...
Sure, you sure had to follow up and just... That's it.
Yep. But in Los Angeles, my God, it got a 5.5. And Kung Fu got 24. Really Kung Fu.
Very interesting.
Doesn't want people to see.